Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
3, 2, 1.
When I'm working out, I love to listen to your podcast.
Whenever you say something,
welcome in, everybody, to a Tuesday morning edition of the Arizona Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Torres. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody is having a great day. And we're doing something a little bit different here on the Tuesday episode of the pod. Yes, you get a second pod here this week with plenty more to come. So here's the bottom line, is that the day that John Calipari announced he was leaving Kentucky for Arkansas, what did I tell you guys and girls? I said, I am not one of these shows that because the season is over, we're going to take time off. News is going to come fast and furious, both from the Arkansas perspective and the Kentucky perspective. And today is a perfect example of that. So early on Monday morning, DJ Wagner, former five-star guard, ends up entering the portal. And it was otherwise a sort of ish quiet day. And so I figured we'll do one segment on DJ Wagner. I'll put it on YouTube and we'll do the full rundown on a Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Aaron Torres pod. Then right as I was putting the finishing touches on the DJ Wagner segment, John Calipari gets his first official commitment at Arkansas as Big Z Zvonimir Visic ends up committing to Arkansas. So I already had the DJ Wagner stuff done. Then Big Z commits. And so what we're going to do is something a little bit different today. We're going to come back. I'm going to react to Big Z ultimately leaving Kentucky for Arkansas. Then we'll take another quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk DJ Wagner, all of his options, including one that I think he needs to consider or a school that I think he should consider outside of the Arkansas and Kentucky stuff. Obviously, we'll be back with a normal Wednesday morning, Tuesday night show. This one, by the way, will end abruptly because it wasn't supposed to be a whole show. So we got two individual clips. We got Big Z, break, DJ Wagner, and then we will be back with the normal schedule the rest of the week. Should mention, by the way, we also went live with Hassan Diarra, the UConn guard, as well. Or we didn't go live. We recorded an interview with Hassan Diarra. That will run sometime this week. A lot of fun stuff from Hassan Diarra on the Final Four run, the National Championship Parade, and ultimately what he is going to do next. That will run sometime this week. Today, you get Big Z up from Kentucky to Arkansas. You get DJ Wagner recruiting options. Busy show, fun show, quick break. Be right back. All right, everybody. I'm back. Gonna be back. So want to go ahead and get to, listen, I'll say this. It was a busy Monday in the world of college hoops, but you always got the sense over the last couple days that there was going to be some big news coming out of Arkansas, right? First of all, John Calipari, always an elite recruiter. Two, he's got a full roster to put together. As he said at the opening press conference, I went to meet with the team. There was no team. So you knew something big was coming. And I'll be blunt, as somebody who has covered John Calipari for years, I felt like something big was going to come on Monday specifically for one very specific reason. It was because Kentucky on Sunday stole the show in college hoops. Okay, that Mark Pope press conference was incredible. I think even Arkansas fans would admit that. Rupp Arena was re-energized. It feels like the Kentucky fan base was re-energized as well. And so you know that John Calipari was sitting back, watching it, seeing highlights, whatever, and sitting there saying, you know what? I can't let Kentucky have too much of this spotlight before I make my first move. And so the first big move, the first official commitment of the John Calipari era at Arkansas is as follows. As on Monday night, Zvonimir Visic, Big Z, 7'2" center from Europe, played 1 year of college basketball at Kentucky. On Saturday, he entered the transfer portal. And on Monday night, Big Z, officially becomes the first member of the John Calipari era Arkansas Razorbacks. And so with that, I just got one question for you, baby. I just got one question. Can anyone stop the Big Pig Invasion? Can anyone stop the Big Pig Invasion as John Calipari is on the board? His first commitment is official. Big Z is headed to Arkansas. And oh, by the way, as you can see on the little ticker right there, you want that Big Pig Invasion tee. Guess what? You can go to AaronTorresOnline.com/merchandise. You can get one of these bad boys for yourself. Now, in terms of this commitment, I'll be honest, I'm not really that surprised, okay? So Big Z is kind of an interesting puzzle piece and chess piece when it comes to really these two schools, because he was a kid, committed late in the summer. I believe August was when it actually became official. And it was a weird thing where, first of all, John Calipari had to battle his own administration just to get Big Z into school. There were issues with admissions. It took a while. I believe it took until like early October, mid-October to get him through admissions at Arkansas or at Kentucky. So that happens. Then you get him over here, and then the NCAA doesn't want to clear him. And so there was actually a moment in time where Big Z left for winter break, went home to Croatia, and there was a thought that he might not come back to Kentucky. And so I don't want to undersell the role that Kentucky fans played. Remember, they were the ones that put up the billboard in Indianapolis that basically said, free Big Z. And so on the one hand, Kentucky fans, you did everything you could. But I always felt like Big Z was going to be loyal to Coach Cal, brought him over, believed in him, brought him, fought for him both with Kentucky admissions and the NCAA. And so I always felt like this was the landing spot for him eventually. I always felt like this was where he was going to end up. And as a matter of fact, he does. Now, in terms of his game, let's talk about his game because I think it's interesting. First of all, really, really, really talented player. 7'2", could step out and hit threes. If you look at the stats, they're a little bit misleading, okay? Averaged 5.5 points per game this past year, 3.5 rebounds, about a half blocks per game in just 11 minutes of play, while also shooting 38% from three. And so he is that new age stretch five. He is that new age guy that is really good in the paint defensively. And I know Kentucky fans would argue, well, he got beat up a little bit. You know, the physicality, I think at times he struggled with. I'd argue the counter is that I think there are times that his length and size gave teams in the end. Z had 2 points, but 4 boards and 3 rebounds in 20 or 3 blocks in 21 minutes of play. Thought he altered a bunch of shots in that game. The Alabama win, Big Z, how about this? 18 points, 4 blocks to go along with 5 rebounds. And oh, by the way, there is, of course, the iconic opening game, 13 points, 5 rebounds, 2 blocks, 3 blocks, excuse me, 2 assists in that first game against Georgia when he also went 3 of 4 from behind the 3-point arc. So he's a very talented player. And what I will say, we only saw the surface of what he's capable of. Remember, he got to the United States. He dealt with illness. First of all, he had no preseason. That's worth noting. Comes in, gets to UK, has no preseason, no ramp up period, no nothing. Then he gets sick. Then he's ineligible. Then he's trying to figure out if he's going to get eligible. Then everyone's trying to figure out, okay, well, what is the next? Is he even coming back? Comes back, takes more time to ramp up after being back overseas. And ultimately he gets in and he's awesome. He wasn't a finished product, but I think you give him a full offseason in the States. I think you give him the opportunity to train with a strength and conditioning program all offseason. I think he has a chance to be really good. I also think it's on John Calipari. I think last summer, Calipari was in a tough spot. He had a ton of freshmen. He knew he had to bring in some older guys, some different guys. And I think then he had the injuries in the preseason to Aaron Bradshaw, to Agana Anyenso. And I think by the end of the year, he had too many healthy bodies. So I think it's on Cal to say, Big Z, you're our starting center at Arkansas. Let's go. Let's get to work. All that good stuff. Now, what will be interesting is, first of all, what kind of roster is put together around him? And then what's next for Arkansas in terms of recruiting? Like I said, Calipari's best teams have really had a 7 or 8 man rotation. This past year, there was like 11 guys that we're good enough to play by the end of the year. Everybody got healthy at the same time, and you were in a tough spot of trying to figure out, okay, who belongs, who doesn't, who's good, who's not, this, that, the other thing. And so one, Cal getting a completely blank slate, I think what it comes down to is I think if you're Cal, you have to, I think, fill out this roster better than your last roster at Kentucky. Not totally his fault. There were a lot of injuries, but at the same time, Big Z has to be your starting center. The big question is what is going to happen next around Big Z? You know, first of all, from the high school ranks, I'll be fascinated. Boogie Fland decommitted on Monday morning. Again, I don't think that's a coincidence. A couple hours after that Mark Pope press conference, everybody's fired up. Everybody's jazzed up. Now, all of a sudden, you got to start your Monday with a five-star decommitting. Is Boogie Fland in the mix? Carter Knox, the freshman, I believe will be in the mix for Arkansas. The famous chicken man emoji in his Twitter account and in his Instagram account. You'd have to think that he is a favorite to land at Arkansas as well. Fland, I believe, will follow Calipari. As of right now, that's the intel I have. We've talked about it before. Orlando Antigua is the New York City primary recruiter for John Calipari. Boogie Fland's a New York City kid. At least when Calipari first left, I was told that those Northeast schools didn't feel like they were in a good place with Boogie Fland and that he was probably going to follow John Calipari to Arkansas. Maybe after a week or two, it's changed. But unless stuff changes, I do think that that is going to be a variable and a factor worth following. Also worth noting, by the way, Boogie Fland, Carter Knox, Jaden Quaintance is an interesting one. Five-star number one center in America. You know, he seems to be truly reopening his recruitment, and I'll be curious to see what his next steps are. Because according to Eric Bossy, he will be visiting Louisville this week. So it appears as though Jaden Quaintance, number one center in America, is at least willing to listen to other schools. And then it becomes fascinating to find out if he would actually commit elsewhere. Obviously, beyond that, what's going to be interesting, right, is what happens with some of the guys from Kentucky that are in the portal currently. Listen, the big news from Monday afternoon, DJ Wagner, former point guard, number one in America last year. Things didn't go great at Kentucky this year. Part of it was injuries. Part of it was trying to figure things out in terms of rotation and this and that. But I'm going to do a separate segment on DJ Wagner later tonight because I believe he got kind of a bum rap. I believe Kentucky was the best version of itself when he was in that lineup at full strength that allowed you to get the best version of Reed Sheppard and Rob Dillingham. So I just bring it up. If Calipari could convince him, that's a heck of a 1-2 punch, two guys with major SEC experience. And so what are the other options beyond them? Aaron Bradshaw committed to Ohio State this weekend. It sounds like, or on Monday, it sounds like he's not in the mix. Adu Thiero, role player. Is that a guy that you can convince to come to Arkansas? Worth noting, he was tweeting about Kentucky shortly after the Mark Pope press conference. So we will see. But I'll tell you what, how about John Calipari? The first major commitment of the John Calipari year, the first commitment period. Zvonimir, Big Z, Avisic. We will have more. We'll probably do a full show on Wednesday for the Aaron Torres pod, but I appreciate everybody's support. All right, everybody. I'm back. Good to be back. So want to go ahead. It is Monday evening. Want to go ahead and update you on a very interesting development in the College Hoops transfer portal for Monday. Now, look, normally we would do the full-fledged recap of the portal. Monday was crazy. About 5, 6, 7 marquee players entered. We got a couple marquee commitments as well. By the way, as you can see on the ticker, if you're not following on Twitter, at CBB Transfers on Twitter. Also, we have just started an Instagram page with all of the late-breaking news, commitments, visits, and more. Make sure you're following CBB Transfers on both Twitter and our new Instagram account. Same time, though, I do want to talk transfers, but what I want to do is something different today. Rather than just focusing on You know, rather than just focusing on the 7, 8, 10 players that entered on Monday, a couple big commitments over the course of the day. We'll do that on the Tuesday night show, you know, full show, whatever. Instead today, though, what I want to go ahead and do is focus on one player specifically who to me is maybe the most intriguing prospect in all of the portal, a guy that just entered on Monday afternoon, but also a player that bluntly, as I found out on these Twitter streets, is very polarizing. As DJ Wagner, former number one high school player in the class of 2023, was the number one player for most of that recruiting cycle, ended up being a top five player, McDonald's All-American, McDonald's All-American Game MVP. Well, after one season at Kentucky, with John Calipari leaving, he has entered the transfer portal, as first reported by Travis Branham of 24/7 Sports. And to me, he is one of the most intriguing players available. And he's also intriguing because it feels like he is going to have a wide open recruitment. According to Travis Branham, he is a kid that will consider returning to Kentucky. He will speak with Mark Pope before making any final decisions. He is truly open in the portal process. So it doesn't sound like it's a done deal that he just follows John Calipari to Kentucky. And he will also enter the NBA draft, or at least look into it. And so for all those reasons, I believe he is the most intriguing prospect in this portal right now. Now, as I said, according to some people that I heard on Twitter, I didn't know he was a polarizing kid, but apparently he was, because when I tweeted about him, some people love him, some people don't. I think he's frankly a little bit misunderstood. All right, so DJ Wagner, first year at Kentucky. By the way, it was really funny. I saw Joe Tipton, the great recruiting newsbreaker at the Final Four. We were talking for a little bit. I was joking with him. Oh, it must be nice to that there was a little bit of a dead period in recruiting. This kid's been all over everything. But why I bring it up is I said to Joe, I said, I feel like there's still some big moves to be made over the course of the next few weeks. And he kind of smirked. And Joe is certainly on the inside more than I am. But I was thinking about Hunter Dickinson did not enter the portal until Final Four weekend last year. So you knew big moves were coming. DJ Wagner is the latest. And again, I think he's a fascinating prospect, a former top five player, number one player in his class for most of the 2023 cycle. Now, what's interesting about DJ Wagner is that the how you feel about him is kind of based on the perception of who he is, who he could be, whatever. He's clearly not a perfect prospect, because if he was, he'd be in the NBA draft right now, projected to be a top five, top 10 pick. Okay. So he's not perfect, but he's 6'4", averaged almost 10 points per game at Kentucky this year, about 3.5 assists per game, did not shoot the ball well, which is something that a lot of people commented on when I tweeted about him on Monday morning. Only shot 29% from the field this, or 29% from three this season. So he's not a perfect prospect, but 6'4", good frame, good pedigree. Obviously, he's the son of DeJuan Wagner. But also because of the way he shot, a lot of people are turned off about the possibility of bringing him in. Now, in my opinion, let me say this about DJ Wagner. I believe he is both misunderstood, and I also think he was kind of the secret sauce to the best versions of Kentucky this year. Why do I think that he was misunderstood? Well, it is because, listen, it was a weird year at Kentucky, right? A lot of highs, a lot of lows. But obviously, over the course of the season, Reed Sheppard and Rob Dillingham emerged as the two best freshman guards on that roster. Antonio Reeves, obviously, was probably the best player overall on that roster as well. And so over the course of the season, anytime anything went wrong, why is Reed not starting? Why is Rob not starting? Why is DJ starting? I actually feel the exact opposite. If you watch the games closely, what I truly believe in my heart of hearts is that the best version of Kentucky was when DJ Wagner was on the floor, or at least in the starting lineup, okay? Now, you can disagree, you can fight with me, but let me explain. Reed Sheppard and Rob Dillingham right now are certainly the better NBA draft prospects. As I'm recording, Reed Sheppard has not declared. Rob Dillingham has. Both will be top 10 picks if they end up going to the draft. Again, we're waiting on Reed Sheppard. But I bring it up to say this, is that if you actually watch the team, you know what stood out to me? When DJ Wagner was in the lineup, that was the best version of Kentucky, and it was for this simple reason. it is because it allowed you to get the best version of Reed Sheppard and Rob Dillingham as well. Reed Sheppard is a great basketball player, but Reed Sheppard was most effective when he's playing starters minutes, both on and off the ball. When DJ Wagner got hurt in the middle of the year, remember the Tennessee game they lost at home at Rupp Arena, Reed Sheppard had to be the point guard. And it limited what made Reed Sheppard great. Reed Sheppard, in a perfect world, you want to be able to play him off the ball, but on the ball as well. Now, certainly there are going to be moments where Reed Sheppard has the ball in his hands and he's making plays for others. But it also helps you when you have another point guard on the floor with him that allows some of the ball handling pressure to come off Reed Sheppard, which then allows Reed Sheppard to be the best version of himself. I feel the same way about Rob Dillingham. Rob Dillingham was the revelation of the season in college basketball, okay? Most people didn't know what to expect from him. He plays himself into what feels like top five status in this upcoming NBA draft. But if you watch Kentucky close enough, Rob Dillingham was probably a player that was best coming off the bench, best playing about 25 to 30, 31 minutes a game because he provided that spark, he provided that energy, and when he would come in the game off the bench, good things happen. Kentucky would go on a 6-0, 8-0, 10-0 run when he's in the game. Kentucky would go on, again, a 10-2 run, whatever. When Rob Dillingham was asked to do too much, you'd get that good stuff, but you'd also get the moments where he takes two or three bad shots in a row, and the 10-2 run you just went on is negated because the other team went on a 7-0 run right back. And so the best version of Rob Dillingham was probably 25 to 31, 32 minutes, not 38, 39 minutes like when DJ Wagner was hurt. So to bring it back to DJ Wagner, enough talking about everybody else. Kentucky's best version was with him on the court. And I truly believe he is that chess piece that you can play on the ball, that you can play off the ball. And yes, the numbers need to be better. But I am betting on a pedigree where for 4 or 5 years, he was one of the best players in this class. And I don't think he forgot to play basketball overnight. Now, the question becomes, what are the best spots for DJ Wagner if he ultimately decides to transfer? I think there's a lot of intriguing options. I think the first option, in my opinion, I don't think there's any doubt. I think the intriguing option is going and staying at Kentucky. That is right. We got hope in Mark Pope. You see the t-shirt at the bottom of the screen there, details on that. But I bring it up because at the end of the day, with DJ Wagner, listen, I think staying at Kentucky is a great option. Now, he has no relationship with Mark Pope. It's on Mark Pope to build that relationship. But first off, I give DJ Wagner credit for being willing to be open to the idea of staying at Kentucky. And this isn't staying at Kentucky to play for some random dude. This is staying at Kentucky to play in one of the most dynamic offenses in all of college basketball. Now, I think it depends on who ends up staying at Kentucky or what the pieces are around him. If Reed Sheppard comes back, I think it makes it more appealing for DJ Wagner. If Mark Pope somehow convinces Boogie Fland, who asked out of his letter of intent, to come to Kentucky, I think it makes it more appealing for DJ Wagner. So part of it is, who is he going to play with? But listen, that system that Mark Pope runs, where they averaged 81 points per game, where they had a million open shots, a million layups. Listen, if you're a guard who at times struggled this year offensively to get confidence and to get your shot, what more do you want than to play in the system where guards have freedom to make plays? Guards have freedom to do what they want. Guards have freedom to miss a shot without immediately getting pulled. And that's not a dig on John Calipari. It's just a reality. Mark Pope is new age. The offense is new age. He is going to put guards in the NBA in that offense. Just because he really hasn't yet, because the recruiting pool is so much smaller, doesn't mean he can't. And so because of it, I think Kentucky is a legitimately great option for DJ Wagner. Now, what'll be interesting? What about going to play for John Calipari in Arkansas? Listen, I think it's a great option. I think it's a great option for Kentucky or for DJ Wagner. I think it's obviously a building block for John Calipari if he can pull it off. And listen, we can criticize Cal, but at the end of the day, he had a lot of mouths to feed. I think the good thing for Cal at Arkansas is he can kind of rebuild this roster as he sees fit. Everybody knows that the best version of John Calipari's teams really only plays about 7 to 8 players. Well, this last offseason, because of injuries, because you didn't know if you were going to get Aaron Bradshaw back, you didn't know if you were going to get Agana Nyenso back, you had to over-recruit. I think it created a logjam. And I think if I'm DJ Wagner, I say, okay, if I'm coming, what is the backcourt looking like? How many dudes are you taking? Because if I can have the ball in my hands, I still believe I can be successful if we're running an offense similar to the one that we just ran last year at Kentucky. There's obviously a comfort level. Obviously, the family loves John Calipari. And I'm fascinated to see if DJ follows Cal to Arkansas. Now, on the counter, I think it's also worth noting, like, Cal, and I'm not a Cal critic, I think Cal was really good this year, all things considered. Bad ending, good season, finished second in the SEC at Kentucky. But at the same time, I do think the family has to make some tough decisions on this. We know about the family relationship. We know about the family dynamic. But that shouldn't be the be-all, end-all for DJ Wagner. He was supposed to be a one-and-done. He's not a one-and-done. And so now you have to make a business decision. It's not about personal relationships. It's not about friendships. It's not about doing Coach Cal a favor. It's about, is Coach Cal, is Arkansas the best place for you to succeed and for you to thrive? And if it is, then you go. I think it'll be interesting, again, like Kentucky, what is the sales pitch from John Calipari that convinces you that you should or should not come to Arkansas? Now, in terms of other schools, I'll say this. I put out a school, and I was like sort of surprised by the backlash to it. But what I will say is a school that I immediately thought of that a lot of people would disagree with, and apparently a lot of people in the fan base do disagree with. I think if you're not going back to Kentucky, if you're not following John Calipari to Arkansas, the school that immediately came to mind to me was UConn. I'm not trying to be a UConn homer. I'm not trying to, you know, stack my roster because trust me, high school and college recruits are not listening to Aaron Torres on College Choices, okay? But when you look at UConn, a couple things stand out. DJ Wagner's from the Northeast. He's from Camden, New Jersey. Get a little bit closer to home. And the one thing about UConn, this UConn system produces NBA guards. James Booknight was a lottery pick. Jordan Hawkins was a lottery pick. Cam Spencer 2 years ago was playing at Loyola of Maryland. He is probably going to get drafted in the second round this year. If not, he will definitely be on a summer league roster. Tristan Newton will definitely be on a summer league roster. And I think if you're DJ Wagner and you cannot miss on this pick, you know you can go to UConn. You're going to get developed. You're going to get coached hard. And they're putting dudes in the league. To me, it's kind of a no-brainer. Now, UConn fan, oh, he can't shoot. He can't do this. He can't do that. Well, guess what? Tristan Newton was a 33% three-point shooter when he got to UConn after 3 years at East Carolina. A couple years later, 36%, 37% three-point shooter. So it's not as though you can't be developed in the system. And right now, nobody is better at developing guards than UConn is. I think it's worth a phone call from UConn. Remember, too, by the way, UConn's going to lose Tristan Newton. UConn's going to lose Cam Spencer. We'll run our Hassan Diar interview later this week. I don't want to spoil it. I think Hassan is genuinely torn on his future as a college basketball player. And so you may have major vacancies at the guard position. Hassan, of course, has a COVID year of eligibility. I don't know if he's coming back or not. And so you need guards. You have a high four-star, low five-star in Ahmad Noel committed, but he's probably not ready to be a 30-minute-a-game guy next year. Bring in DJ Wagner and pass the torch. Say, dude, come in. Look what we did for Tristan Newton. Look what we did for Cam Spencer. Look what we did for Jordan Hawkins. Come play here for a year. Start where Ahmad Noel backs you up, and then Ahmad Noel can take the torch from you. Just a thought, but I think it's worth considering. Obviously, the other big name school in the tri-state area has produced certainly their coach anyway, a ton of NBA players. Had some St. John's fans ask me about DJ Wagner. I think it's worth a phone call from St. John's. First of all, St. John's, they have plenty of NIL money. Rapoli, the vitamin water guy who's a big booster at St. John's, said, I'm writing Rick Pitino a blank check. So you get paid. You get to go back to the New York tri-state area. You get to be the face of a rebuild at St. John's University in Madison Square Garden on the biggest stage in basketball, which is Madison Square Garden. Not a bigger stage than Kentucky. Kentucky fans don't get mad, but you get the point. So I'll be very interested to see. And listen, by the way, there's going to be other schools. If DJ Wagner really is open to other possibilities, then let's call a spade a spade. I'm sure Alabama's going to call. I'm sure Gonzaga's going to call. I'm sure everybody's going to call. Hope DJ does what's best for him. Think it will be fascinating. But as you can tell, I am a DJ Wagner fan, and I think it is underappreciated and underrated how good he was this year.